We are 1 week away from the start of college football season. A week from tonight, Southern Miss and South Carolina will get the SEC kicked off, as well as a number of other games around the country. And, of course, anticipation around here is very high. The news updates that this week...
You had that whole fun little situation in Florida.
Well, you have that. You have the Associated Press Top 25 coming out. And also, last week, I wanted to get into this. I did not have the opportunity, but... The buyout of the Tennessee's 2011 North Carolina game. Why would they buy out of the North Carolina game? Not really sure about that one, especially since it just came out in the last hour, reported by Joe Shad, that North Carolina apparently is investigating nine of its standout football players, or several of whom are standout football players, for having a paper written by a tutor, which is obviously illegal. So North Carolina is investigating. Will those players be suspended for the LSU game? If they are, then that's one win you can chalk up for Les Miles for sure. And Butch Davis, my goodness, is this not poison for him? As you've seen the party in Miami, now this. What is it that I welcome in David Sears and the other side of the glass?
It's looking worse and worse for Tennessee right now, because it looks like North Carolina is probably going to be hammered. They're not going to be anywhere near the power that they were supposedly going to be. But... you got to think that, well, you got nine players now that are involved. They're all prominent players. They've been relegated to scout team.
Mm-hmm, right.
So you know something's up when they're all relegated to scout team. So I'm thinking Tennessee is just looking worse and worse for doing this.
Along that same line, Wesley Saunders, the tight end who was at the party in Miami, it came out a couple of days ago that he's been investigated by the NCAA as well, and he has been suspended indefinitely by Coach Steve Spurrier. But it has nothing to do, it has nothing whatsoever to do with the NCAA. I mean, it's just because he violated some team rules. Go ahead.
The story behind it is he supposedly missed practice because he was meeting with the NCAA.
Oh, yes.
But when the coaches found out that wasn't true, they got a little upset with the little lie like that, because... the whole, you know, using the NCAA as an excuse.
That was smart.
That's kind of dangerous.
Well, who buys the fact that he was suspended for violation of team rules?
I could see that. Lying is generally a violation of team rules.
Understandable. But just think about this scenario. What if South Carolina wanted him to violate some team rules so that they could suspend him?
So that way they could say, well...
Because
that,
of his
NCAA. That is kind of devious, but I wouldn't put it past Spurrier to come up with something like that, but I seriously doubt that.
But I do wonder about that, though. Alabama always seems to suspend its players when situations like these arrive so that they are covered. Saban's always good about, you know, suspending whether or not the NCAA hands anything down. And in the Marcell Dareus situation, hopefully they'll tell Alabama something before the San Jose State game next Saturday, but if they don't, I imagine he might even be suspended just to cover the bases. What do you think?
I think that's a legitimate thing. I don't think he'll be suspended. I mean, last year, Julio and Mark Ingram, we didn't find out until the Wednesday before the Vitek game.
Yeah, the NCAA is always the last minute on these things.
So we'll see, but I doubt that he'll be suspended. I don't think he'll play.
Mm-mm.
I mean, you're definitely not going to play if you're an at-risk kid, because you don't want to have to go back and forfeit a game. Or is it, would they vacate it or would they forfeit it?
Well,
the
NCAA, I think they would vacate
the NCAA now. Yeah. You don't really see any forfeits much now.
No. When's the last time you did? Apparently, USC, though, is vacating and forfeiting the 2004 National Championship.
From the Writers.
Right.
From the BCS, not from the AP.
And from the Bun Sports.
Bun Sports is going to stick by their award.
We're actually going to give it to Utah. We didn't think Auburn or Oklahoma deserved it.
Hey, Urban Meyer now has three national championships.
He does. But no, yeah, that's another story, by the way. Auburn will not get the 2004 FWAA National Championship, as if it's any surprise to anyone, as if it even matters to anyone. I mean, come on, what Auburn fan out there right now really cares whether or not what does it matter if you're an Auburn fan? And I know it's hard for you to put yourself in the shoes of an Auburn fan because you played at Alabama, but if you're an Auburn fan, do you really want this national championship?
It would be as much grief as they give Alabama fans for their paper national championships. This would be right on par for that.
Oh, man.
And Alabama fans were like, well, you're going to make fun of us for ours. So
we're talking about the Football Writers Association. We're not talking about the BCS. We're not talking about the Associated Press. We're talking about the Football Writers Association, a rinky-dink organization. We are joined now by Kelly Kitchens. He's been with us before, and he actually is the one I was talking about who votes in the FWAA. Well, Kelly, did you vote Auburn? I mean, surely you didn't vote against Auburn.
Well, I was informed that I didn't get a chance to vote because it wasn't a vote. But even though they haven't won a national title with Ice Mask or Color TV, I still couldn't give it to them then. It's just, how are you going to come back in 10 years and say, hey, we won the national title? Oh, wait, we weren't even on the field that night. Or in the city or anywhere else.
Well, we're giving you the vote here. Bunsports.com, even though the FWAA didn't give it to you, we're giving you the vote, Bunsports.com. And so you're voting, you're going against your orange and blue comrades.
Well, I mean, basically you got to look at it like this. And I understand you got three teams that are undefeated. Auburn needs to worry about keeping that tree alive that they roll every time they do win against a nobody team instead of worrying about a 10-year-old national title that wasn't even theirs in the first place. The best thing that happened to them was not being on the field that night so they could at least savor an undefeated season, because USC would have run them off the field just as well.
So who would you give the title to?
I mean, you would have to get, I mean, I think you just vacate it, to be honest with you, because the eye test shows you that Oklahoma can't do it. But you look at the eye test at Leinart's first career start was in Jordan-Hare State, 23-0, after Auburn said what they were going to do to him. First career start on the road. That night was probably, as a college football team, well, as I thought a college football team, the overall performance in every facet of the game. Obviously, Alabama's defense in 92, but they weren't a college team. Obviously, Reggie Bush is getting paid under the table.
Oh, sure. Well,
so Auburn might should just pony up if they won a national title and give some cars out or something, whatever they needed to do.
Well, I said Utah, and I figured you would agree with me on that.
Of course I do, and there's no bias in that vote at all.
It wouldn't be because you're standing in front of a big statue.
Or if the Utah fans were all doing the Gator Chomp. I mean, you know.
Thanks, Kelly.
Not at all. See you, man.
Kelly Kitchens. Anyway, it doesn't matter. They're not going to get the national championship, and I don't think most legitimate thinking fans even care. Mississippi State has been told that they are not allowed to ring cowbells at, and I quote, inappropriate times. Yes. If they ring cowbells at inappropriate times, which is defined by during live play, they will be fined $5,000 for a first offense, $25,000 for a second offense, and $50,000 for a third offense. What say you on this, Mr. Sear?
I'm going to say it's going to be hard to enforce. I mean, they'll probably be able to do it, but the fans will still sneak them in. This will be like the new charging the field and charging the court rules where – I mean, you'll pay the fine, but now if Mississippi State, they start enforcing the 15-yard penalty every time that happens, and Mississippi State ends up giving the other teams great field position and stuff, then you can definitely see
they won't be allowed in. Then the university will take control. But what I don't understand is they came out at the beginning of the year, the SEC did, and said it's okay to bring artificial noisemakers into the games. It's okay for Mississippi State to bring their cowbells into the games. So they come back with this. You can't ring them during live action. Well,
then what's the point?
There is no – I don't understand that. I don't understand why.
To me, last year Alabama had bells on third down, right, and then South Carolina complains about that during the game, and they have to stop during the game.
Yes.
I think that's ridiculous.
I do. I agree.
I mean, I understand you don't want the other team to get excited when you're the road team. You don't want that home team to get pumped up and make a lot of noise. But that's something you have to overcome.
Well, isn't that home field advantage?
I know. They used to play the Rooster Crow – at South Carolina games on third downs or after big plays to get everybody pumped up.
And they had the elephant in Alabama.
They still have the elephant. That's for kickoffs after touchdowns. And
they changed it this year. I think it's going to be
Saving.
The trailer. Well, yeah. That ought to get everybody fired up. Well, speaking of Alabama, let's talk to somebody who knows about the Crimson Tide, who covers the Crimson Tide and works for the Crimson Tide Sports Network. Chris Stewart joins us. He hosts the Tailgate Show after the games with Tyler Watts. Chris, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing well. Looking at the 2010 edition of the Alabama Crimson Tide, much has been made about the defensive losses, losing nine starters coming back this year. What do you see from the Crimson Tide on the defensive side this year?
Well, there's no doubt there are a lot of question marks there. The advantage that I think you got now as opposed to a couple of years ago is that the talent level is high enough that even though you may not have much experience, you've got a lot of guys that are capable of filling that role as the year goes on. They may not be as good as they're going to be in week one, but I think by the time you get a couple of games under the belt, they're going to be fine. Clearly, it's going to start with Dante Hightower, and if he is able to be as good as we all think he can be and will be in taking over that role from Orlando McClain, that's a wonderful starting point. I think the defensive front is going to be very good. I think talent-wise overall in the linebacking core, you're solid. But there's no doubt by the time you roll into Fayetteville for that fourth game of the year, you better have a few things answered in the secondary or it could be a long afternoon.
Looking at the offensive side, you have returning Heisman winner Mark Ingram. You have Greg McElroy and Julio Jones. It seems like this is your dream offense. How do you think offensively Alabama will compete in the SEC? Do you think they have a chance to put up a lot of points, or is that just not
no doubt.
That just doesn't happen in the SEC? A
couple of holes to fill on the offensive front, but there were three that you had to replace the year before, and all they did was go out, run the table, and lead the Tide to getting its first Heisman Trophy winner in school history. Actually, you're the first one probably in a while that when talking about the offense, ironically, has started with Mark Ingram. And to me, that tells you how many weapons there are when the reigning Heisman Trophy winner is not the first guy mentioned by everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But having him, having Trent Richardson, Eddie Lacy, I think, is going to have a wonderful opportunity to fill that role that Roy Upchurch has filled, which is an important one and perhaps an underrated role on that offense the last couple of seasons. Having a veteran in Greg McElroy and not just the best wideout, in my opinion, in the country in Julio Jones, but a nice, very explosive and talented group to go with him in that receiving core. There's no question that on paper you have as good an offense as Alabama has ever had. Now, there may be a couple in the 70s you can point to, and you look back and you go, well, there was a Hall of Famer in Ozzie Newsome and several other guys that played in the NFL a lot of years that were on that offensive line. But when you consider the number of guys that are probably going to be high draft picks, probably top five, I dare say that when they come out, Ingram, Jones, and Richardson, whatever years those may be, they will all three be top 10 draft picks. One team, one side of the ball, and that's a very rare thing to happen. The only one that really comes to mind is Auburn, I guess, back in 04. So, and that wasn't even on the same side of the ball. I think they had a DB that was in that mix. So it's a tremendous amount of skill, a tremendous amount of ability. The question is, can they have the same type of chemistry that last year's offense did? And I think there's a great chance of that occurring.
All right, we are with Chris Stewart with the Crimson Tide Sports Network. He is going to be doing the pay-per-view broadcast with Tyler Watts in the booth and the lovely Barry Krause on the sidelines. I know San Jose State is easy to overlook, but you really can't afford to do that, especially after the ULM game a couple years ago. Do you think Saban will have this team prepared to play San Jose State and not looking forward to the big event next week with Penn State and game day and all that hoopla?
Yeah, I mean, David, you've worn the uniform before. It's going to be an exciting time to be there for that first game in the newly expanded Bryant-Denny Stadium. But there's no doubt that some of their thoughts will be to Penn State. Not enough for it to matter against San Jose. And you're right, you lost to Louisiana Monroe a couple of years ago, but I can assure you Jimmy Johns will not be carrying the football and have a chance to fumble in the fourth quarter of this one. It's just it's almost like a totally different – it's hard to believe those are the same programs, and it's also hard to believe it's just a three-year differential in time since that occurred. So they're really light years away from it, and I don't think they'll play their best game of the year against San Jose State, but I also don't think it's going to matter at all.
Chris, have you had the chance to see the new movie, Nick Saban, Game Changer?
I have not, but I know one of the two guys that put that together, and Grant Gustin's an extremely talented guy, and they've got a great project, a great subject, and I'm looking forward to seeing it.
What kind of a boost is that? And obviously, it goes without saying that it does give a boost. But what does that do to a young man who is trying to decide between two, say, SEC universities? When he looks, as far as, you know, recruiting is concerned, and he looks and sees Nick Saban in a movie like that, sees Alabama on ESPNU 5 days out of the week, what does that do?
Well, it's huge because, in fact, I was reading this week where Alabama's already gotten a verbal commitment for the 2012 season, and the kid's high school coach made the statement that he wanted to be the first to recruit or first to commit for that 2012 class after seeing the special that ran on ESPN.
Wow.
So it's got a tremendous impact, and that goes to show you the wisdom and intelligence that Nick Saban has. He knows those things have an impact, and I guarantee you that's the only reason he allowed it to occur.
Yeah, sure.
His every thought is what's best for my kids, what's going to help them win, and what's going to help me recruit guys so that I can win in the future. That's what his mind, you know, where his mind is always working. And it's obviously been a formula that's worked very well for him for quite a while.
It sure has. Well, Chris, we appreciate you giving us a few minutes of your time. Chris Stewart, as David said, is going to be doing the pay-per-view this year of the Crimson Tide, and also the Crimson Tide Sports Network, the post-game parties, and he also hosts Crimson Tide this week. We really appreciate you taking time out of your day to be with us.
Glad to do it, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, Chris Stewart joining us. Absolutely. It's a huge recruiting boost, no question about it, as he said. And Alabama, of course they're going to be prepared for San Jose State. David Sears, once again, great conversation, talking SEC football. I can't wait till next week, though, because it's actually the week of football. I've been counting down now for the last 20 weeks, it seems like, and we are finally there. A big thank you to Kelly Kitchens for joining us, Chris Stewart, the Crimson Tide Sports Network. Thanks, and this has been the Jacob Bunch Show. We will see you next week.